are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, it's time for us to get into our deep dive for this morning, and we're looking at developing spiritual discipline. Today, we're focusing on strength training for the soul, and we are going to be joined on the line by Pastor Masi Asani, speaking to us about this very important subject. Now, if temptation is the storm, prayer is the anchor. Yet many treat prayer like an emergency hotline rather than a daily conversation. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Now, Jesus himself used to use prayer to fight off the enemy in the wilderness. Now, why do we think that we can do it alone? Building a habit of prayer is not just about asking for help when we're struggling. It's about staying connected to God so that we have the strength to resist before we even feel tempted. All right. And now Pastor Masi Asani is going to be guiding us through this conversation on how we can develop spiritual discipline. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
We're so thankful for your time this morning. We appreciate you making time to speak with us about a very important subject for anyone on this Christian walk. We all want to know how we can develop that spiritual discipline. So would you speak to us a little bit about how prayer helps us to develop self-control and resistance to temptation? What role does prayer play in this situation?
Thank you so much. Maybe in the first place, I would want to say, in any particular discipline, for one to be successful, they need just to have certain things in perspective. For example, areas of sport, you are taught to say that you need to exercise, you need to have the right diet. Those that are in the area of academia, you just need to find quality time that you can study so that you'll be able to pass your examinations and so forth. When we bring it to the Christian perspective, there are things that are critical that one must be able to appreciate in order to thrive in their Christianity. And one of those big things, ingredients, is the aspect of prayer. When we look at prayer, we do just a simple definition. Prayer is opening up our heart to God as a friend. We present ourselves to God who we are, and we simply ask God to help us navigate through life. Now, how does prayer get to help someone to be able to overcome temptation? The Bible does tell us to say, ask and you shall be given. When we engage ourselves in prayer, we are opening ourselves up to God and simply asking for strength from God, and God gives us enough grace that we are able to exhibit the discipline that we ought to have. We are able to overcome various challenges that come on our way. Through prayer, we can move mountains. I think that is also what the Bible does say.
Beautiful, beautiful. So definitely prayer is not something, it's not an optional thing. We have to have prayer in our Christian walk.
Sure.
Now, what can we learn from Jesus' use of prayer during his time of testing?
Wow, that's a beautiful question. Well, I love what the Bible says in the book of Mark. It should be chapter 1, verse 35. Allow me to read it in your hearing. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The Bible says, early in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and he departed in a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now, we're talking about the Son of God who saw the need for prayer. And the Bible does mention to us that before the sun would even come out, he would go in a solitary place, and there he prayed. He communed with God. He sought for strength. And the Bible tells us that while he spent that particular time, while he had that divine intercourse with God, what we get to see is that when the sun comes up, when he is mingling with people, as he comes into contact with people, he is already spirit-filled. He has already been energized for the day. He knows what course of action to take because he has been in communion with God. The challenge that we have in modern society is to wake up without having a proper program, where we wake up without prayer.
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus actually prepares before temptation comes. He's already in tune with prayer. You see, you don't get strength. Let me give a practical example. They say you cannot fatten a cow on a marketing day. What you do in the background will eventually be seen in the public domain.
Hey.
And so when we look at prayer, it is not something that we should just come in a public space and give a long prayer. No, what you need more is to have it in your private prayer, and that strength will be seen in the public. So when we meet temptation, whether it is in private or in public, because we have communion with God, we are able to stand the trials that come before us. So prayer is a thing that every Christian, every believer must have it as their daily bread.
That's powerful. I think it's such a powerful point, because oftentimes, maybe I'm exposing myself now, maybe I'm the weak Christian here, who a lot of times when we think of prayer, we're thinking about coming to ask God because I need this, Lord. I'm in need. There's something that I want. There's something that I need. Please come through. I'm already sick, or I'm already in the sin that I need to be delivered from, or I'm in trouble for whatever reason. But we don't look at it as a preemptive measure that we take. Pray before you even come to. Before you even go out into that battlefield, you've already covered yourself in prayer. And I think that's a beautiful point.
Yeah.
Now, is there a wrong way to pray when asking for strength against temptation? Or is it fine? Just pray and ask for that strength. Is there a right and wrong way to do that?
Okay, well, that's a very awesome question. Well, I think when we come to God, he takes us at a level where we are. What do I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
When I present myself before God, he understands my strength and my weaknesses.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He looks at me and he says, my son is in need of this. And he comes through and addresses our needs. Now, what is very important is, first of all, for us to realize how vulnerable we are without God.
Okay.
We are not safe as believers for an hour without prayer.
Hey.
Does the Bible not say to us that pray without ceasing?
Mm.
Okay, now, how do we go for a combat? How do you go for battle when you're not armed? In our world today, look at these great superpowers. They actually increase the army budget even when there's no war. And you begin to wonder, but are we going to experience a third world war? Why are people putting magic? It's because they understand that, hey, a battle can erupt at any time.
Yeah.
And if you're not prepared, you're done. You're gone. Now, if the world can prepare in that manner, how much more as a believer? Now, they have got intention. They are intentional in the things they do. That in the same vein, you as a believer, me as a believer, I must be intentional in how to pray.
Mm.
In other words, if I don't take it serious, if I take it casually, I think that then I miss the big point. And that is why James would say, you receive not because you ask amiss. And he also has to say, you receive not because you don't ask.
Yeah.
And that sometimes when we ask amiss. So the question is, what is it that really I'm asking for? What is it that is the real issue? And so when you talk about, is there a wrong way or a right way?
Mm.
I think James gives us a perspective to say, ask for the right thing. It should not be a self-centered thing. It should be more of, okay, what does God really say? Right. What is God really asking of us?
Yeah.
I think that gives us a roadmap on how we ought to pray.
Yes. And that immediately then directs us to the Word of God, because how can I pray for what God wants me to pray for when I don't know what He wants?
Mm-hmm.
If I've not read His Word, how can I know what to even pray for? So that the prayer and the Bible study have to go hand in hand so that you even know what to pray for.
That is very true. You see, you have just reminded me of David, who says, Lord, hide your word in me that I may not sin against you.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you see that prayer and the study of God's word go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
We see it throughout. When we, you know, the Bible is actually speaking to us the mind of God. It tells us on how we ought to behave, on how we ought to act. So when we don't get to have the Bible, it is more like buying an equipment and you don't have a manual on how that thing ought to operate. Definitely, you're going to spoil it within no time. So prayer and the study of God's word.
Yeah,
these are twins. These are married, and they cannot be divorced from each other.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful. Now, how can we then cultivate a habit of prayer so that we're spiritually prepared for the challenges that, I mean, we can't avoid them? So how can we stay spiritually prepared? How do we cultivate prayer as a habit, not just when it's urgent, when there's something that has just happened, but just as a daily habit? How do we do that?
Yeah. Number one, I think we must be intentional in prayer. What do I mean by that? Have a program and tell yourself that at this particular hour, I want to pray. Now, I'll give an example of other religions. Oh, for example, one day I was walking in a hospital and I noticed that there's a prayer room, and I noticed at all. So there are people that come to pray in this room. But you see, when you're in that vulnerable situation, oftentimes we want to call upon God for prayer because we want to get healed. But what is very shocking is when I went to a mall and I discovered that the Muslim community really get to have a prayer room. Now, that, imagine you are at a workplace and when it is 13 hours, you're simply saying, I'm not attending to anyone, I'm going to pray.
Mm.
We have a lot to learn. In other words, be intentional. You see, the way we take prayer shows how serious we are about the situation or not.
Mm.
When you set up time, respect that particular time.
Mm.
How do you go in a prayer room with your phone? And when you hear the phone rings, you are rushing your prayer that you can see who is calling. Imagine getting into a surgery room and this neurosurgeon begins to pick up phone calls. Would you trust that particular neurosurgeon?
Of course not. Definitely not.
And that is how we gamble with our faith, that we are not disciplined enough. Now, allow me to say this. The pain of discipline is better than the pain of regrets. The pain of discipline is better than the pain of regret. If you are to be successful in this life, you must be disciplined. Yeah. You must be able to tell yourself, this time is dedicated for my God. Sometimes you don't feel like praying. Now, we don't pray because I feel like praying. Mm-hmm. I pray because I have to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
I have to hear out what God has to say to me. And so the prayer then should not be based on emotions, on how I have woken up today and the like.
Yeah.
I must have that deliberate kind of a program and so forth. And I can tell you it will help us. So prayer can be done at the personal level. It can be done at the corporate level where you engage with friends and the like.
Mm-hmm.
That also gets to help us. And I think it is also important that you must be able to create boundaries that center around your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Don't be swayed easily. Listen, The book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 to 13 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, mm-hmm. but painful. Later on, however, it produces the harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Mm. Okay? Therefore, even when my knees are weak, even when my arms are feeble, even when I don't feel like, the issue is that I have to go through it. Hey. And before I know it, I fall in love. Look, every year, people make resolutions. People make resolutions. Let's say somebody, they think of dieting, they want to shed off some weight and the like. When you're starting, sometimes it's not comfortable, the pain that the muscles experience. Mm. But notice, the more you do it, the more you become comfortable with it, and the more you develop endurance and strength. Yeah. And so God gives us physical things that we can learn from that can help us also in our faith.
Sure, that's powerful. And I like that it also addresses the fact that it's not easy. Developing that discipline is not easy, but as you said, that was a powerful, powerful line there, that the pain of regret is worse than the pain of discipline. You're going to feel the pain either way. Yeah. You choose which pain do you want, because either way, you can't avoid the pain one way or another. Now, as we're wrapping up our conversation, Pastor, what are some practical ways to keep our prayer life strong, especially in those moments when we're feeling distant from God?
There are times that we will feel distant from God. There are times when we will be at our lowest point. There are times that we will feel like, is this thing really working? Is God really answering my prayer? Now, the key is knowing that God is ever present. Let me put it in this way. You see, when it's during daytime, we don't see the stars, but that does not mean that the stars are not there. Hey. when it is dark, then you see the stars. Mm. In other words, what I want us to say is that whether we are having a sunshine experience or a dark moment, God is ever present. And it is this God that simply says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. And so, For us to be able to make sure that these particular things become a reality in our lives, I want us to understand that God is ever present regardless of your situation.
Amen. Amen.
Even at a time when things are so bad, just still pray because God is there. A very good example in the Bible is a man who is blind, and he hears that Jesus is passing by, and he cries, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And the disciples simply asked him, keep quiet. In other words, there are things in life that will ask us that keep quiet. It is not worth it. You're not worthy to spend time with Jesus.
Sure.
But one thing we learn from the man, that though he was blind, he had the eyes of faith that could see Jesus.
Amen.
He simply still cries out the more. So in other words, when there's pressure that is trying to weigh you down, that you should go into silence, I want to say, cry out the more. Even at a time when things seem not to be promising, even at a time when marriage seems to be failing, at a time when your health seems to be growing down, the man cried the more. And when he cried the more, Jesus stopped.
Amen.
I want us to know that Jesus will always pause when somebody calls upon his name. And he simply says, who is that man? The very people who were stopping the man from shouting, he simply sends them, go and bring that man. In other words, I want us to know that the very challenges that we may meet may become a vehicle that may even drive us closer to God.
Sure.
And he simply says, what do you want me to do? So Jesus, the very words he speaks to the blind man, what is it that you want me to do for you? Are the very words that God is asking us, what is it that you want me to do for you? The blind man simply says, that I may receive my sight. And so if I am struggling with a temptation, Jesus is asking me, what is it that you want me to do? And there is no need to beat about the bush. It's simply to tell him, I have an issue here that I'm struggling. Give me strength. And God comes through and he gives us strength. The punchline is God answers prayer.
Amen. Amen. Sure, that's powerful. Yeah. My pastor, thank you so much for coming through and sharing that powerful word with us this morning. I look forward to the rest of the week as we continue delving into the subject of developing spiritual discipline. I think prayer is a beautiful place to start. And I thank you for your time this morning. Thank you for the powerful insights that you've shared with us. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.